Thanks for joining us this evening. My name is Ibrahim Sani. You're watching Notepad. The idea here is, of course, to explore some of the developments that are currently taking place on the Malaysian workforce, Asia-Pacific workforce, and the global workforce per se. Because over the past 2.5 years, we saw a paradigm shift into how the workplace has been changing as a result of the pandemic. And with a rise in remote working, organizations and companies have switched to digitalized processes to ensure their teams could continue on working and maintain a high level of productivity and production. However, amidst this shift, the positive workplace experiences has remained a challenge for employees because they do feel lonely, they do feel disconnected, and they are feeling unsupported at their workplace. And of course, according to the Oracle AI at Work study, 85% of people globally were not happy with their employer's support of their careers and for their careers, and an astounding 87% believe that their company should be taking in more steps in listening into the needs of the workforce at the workplace. So the same attitudes do apply in terms of Malaysia here, where according to Business Today, 61% of people are planning to look for a new job in the next year due to reasons like lack of career development, lack of appreciation or recognition, lack of training, and lack of opportunities. And we have done a few interviews on this. Just go to Notepad. You can look at other interviews regarding the topic of how the reaction of people trying to find for better workplace or looking for other jobs is actually quite prevalent for 2022 moving forward. Anyway, I have with me Chris Havrila, Vice President Product Strategy Talent at Oracle, joining us from California. Chris, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Sorry if we are having an extreme difference in terms of the time zone changes, but again, I really appreciate you dialing in all the way from the US. Let's start with the Oracle AI at Work study. Are you familiar with that topic before we jump into the first question, which is the digitalization of Oracle?
Well, you know, I'm relatively new to Oracle, so I haven't gotten too deeply involved in that study as of yet. But I, you know, I'm happy to talk to some of what that technology means in this kind of notion of a world of work, workforce, workplace, and where and how that plays out, how it can be utilized for insights and value for literally HR, business leaders, managers, and the workers themselves.
Yep, no problems. Let's dive straight into the Oracle Fusion Cloud Human Capital Management, or HCM, and how can this equip organizations for the evolving workforce, Chris?
Absolutely. You know, I think the power of this technology is that it can provide insights and value to virtually everyone in the organization. Not only, you know, and I think traditionally HR systems have been for HR, but with the way this technology works, it can provide insights and value to virtually everybody, whether you're the worker, whether you're HR talent, or whether you're a manager, or whether you're a leader, and really designed for what value and insights that they do need to make decisions about their career or about a person's role, the work they're doing, or even globally from an organizational perspective. And it does that by leveraging the power of the core technologies, but all of it together, right? When we bring in AI into this kind of a structure, it can leverage all the data in all these disparate systems or what have traditionally been disparate systems, and look at patterns and trends, pull in data from, you know, all of these perspectives, and again, kind of push back insights, guidance, recommendations, to kind of help all of those, you know, different personas within an organization make better decisions and take action. And happy to kind of dive down into, you know, to each of those and what that might look like, if it makes sense.
Sure, sure. Let's deep dive on this and start with the basics, please.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about especially the way Oracle has built all of the apps that they have natively, right? So it's on the same technology, not multiple types of technology. It's also on a single data model, and data is the real currency, right, to all of these systems. Part of that again is how do we kind of take the data from people, but also the data we already have in the system and leverage that. A lot of doc has been about skills in organizations. So how do we capture those skills? There's multiple ways that we can do that. People can, like a worker, for instance, can bring in things from their LinkedIn profiles or enter skills that they have. And why would they want to do that, right? And it really is the insights and value that they can get, that they can give to their manager, whether they're trying to apply for another job internally or maybe gigs or projects or stretch assignments using things like Opportunity Marketplace. It's super important to have that data. So it's really important how easy we make it for people and how we inspire them to keep it up. That is from a worker perspective. Not only can they enter that, we can pull it in from other areas. They can, through the different times and moments that matter in their employee journey, are inspired to keep it up. For instance, if they do want another job, and they see something that they are interested in, or and they know what the skills are for that job, they can start to add things in and say, "Yes, I do have those skills," or "These are skills I'm developing and looking to develop." So during all those moments that matter, they're inspired to keep that up. A manager can also put in skills about that employee. Their colleagues can also put in skills around that employee. So you kind of have everybody building the database and the data that all of this technology can kind of take advantage of, and again, see patterns and trends across all the employees and workers in the organization. So there's things that it can continually learn. And again, pushback guidance and insights. Same thing with the manager. Manager can look at their team now, see the skills of the team, what their strengths are, where they may need development, and start to encourage development even where the worker might not have done it on their own. And same thing with HR and talent. They can see these things in aggregate, but also down at the employee level or at a business unit level or a manager's level. And again, try to help encourage making sure that these skills stay updated so that the guidance and recommendations can continually get smarter and better.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the importance of digital tools in attracting the right talent for organizations. Perhaps you can elaborate more on this.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it really does go back to that notion of insights and value. And it's an important concept, and it's why I'll probably continue to reiterate it, that when the technology is really working for us, and that's where we're going. That's the power of a lot of the technology that is being invested in and coming out, is how do we think about what kind of future outcomes are? How are we constantly solving forward, not looking at the past? And when the technology is used to get insights and value versus just kind of, hey, we'll use this technology to automate tasks and activities. That's kind of a substitution method, approach. This is really about how do we actually augment and collaborate with technology? And I think that's why the notion of insights and value is so important in this, because when the technology is used in that way, it becomes more about being the work or less than being the work, and more about how do we think about current future outcomes. How do we make better decisions, and how do we take action on those things?
The issue with using digital tools is the inputting, the tracking, the monitoring, and this would definitely take time out of the workers or employees in trying to be productive because to input data requires time and hence taking them out from the real work. Is there any point in time where these could be automated or at least be catered to a point where it is reducing the workers' time to do these kind of work on inputting rather than doing production?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we can make it easier, right? How do we make it easy, for instance, to get skills into a system? I think in the past, we've always used systems as the work, right? Feeding, to your point, it really is all about how do we get things in the system? How do we automate things? But when I talk about this notion of how do we collaborate with technology and use the power of it so that it's working for us, part of that is incumbent on making it easy to get the data in to a system, which is one of the reasons I mentioned earlier about the different ways skills, which is really kind of the fuel that powers a lot of this technology, right? Or a lot of these insights and value. What are the different ways we can get skills in there? How do we make it easy, to continually keep it updated? How do we use things like Oracle Digital Assistant to use to input things versus having to even type it out? And I think that's where the technology is going, right? Versus where the technology has kind of taken us over the past 20 years, right? Where it's literally been the work. This kind of next generation of tools and technology is really geared towards usability, making this easier. How we collaborate with it to work better. And I think an important concept of this notion of digitalization is teaching people how to work with technology, helping them understand it, how to take advantage of it. And I think we've spent in the past more time system training people and not teaching them how to use it to their advantage, to get the outcomes that they're trying to get to.
What would be some of the useful tools and recommendations and guidance for managers to help the workforce?
Absolutely. And I think that's part of what AI technologies do is as they take data in, they're constantly kind of making recommendations and guidance and that prompts people to, yeah, this is right, or no, that's not right, or it's tracking what your activity is in terms of, wow, there's more and more interest in this. Kind of like we would think about shopping online or people that or technology that recommends things to buy or friends to connect with, or maybe it's what you should watch based on other ways that you've interacted with the technology. That's the power of a lot of this technology is again just how do we make this easier? How do we make it more inspiring to use because it is providing that insight and value. So you interact with it more and more and more. The more we build that into the tools that we give to people, and again from all of these different personas, is how we get the value out of it. And if you think about it, maybe in the past we've done a lot of top-down kind of, wow, we're going to transform everything instead of making it easier for everybody to kind of solve for this. So now you have the worker who can input their skills, who can say when the technology says, based on your role and based on these things, are these skills you have or skills you want to develop? And it's constantly kind of engaging that user to keep it updated. And again, when somebody's inspired to look for a job or maybe a stretch assignment or something of that nature, like we offer through the Opportunity Marketplace technology that we have, it gives people in that kind of when they need it, where they need it, ability to interact with the system. You also have managers coming in and looking at it from a skills or looking at it from a team perspective down to the individual worker level. And again, you have HR and your talent partners that can do the same. So now you have three different people trying to solve for this, whereas how we interacted with technology in the past was really, again, kind of just work.
Okay. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Chris Havrila of Oracle. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Chris Havrilla joining us from California. Chris, different sectors require different tools and different skill sets. What would be the best way to ensure corporates to train their workforce that is best suited for their needs and wants of the industry? And more importantly, how can we ensure that the training and the upkeep of the workforce's relevance is there, considering that industries do change rather rapidly after this pandemic?
Well, first they have to know what they have. And that's why this notion of skills is kind of the building blocks for how we make business and talent decisions is so critical. If you think about maybe since the dawn of the second, industrial revolution, we've been making business and talent decisions based on jobs and roles alone, with skills as kind of this underpinning for a lot of this technology. We have to start to think in different ways. And to your point, that is company specific, industry specific, but we have to find ways to capture that data, but also start to think about the work of an organization in that very same way, right? And I think that is why we're seeing this explosion in technology around skills, around talent marketplaces and mobility, because work is becoming a little bit more of a marketplace, an exchange for skills and capabilities for the work that an organization needs to have done. And I think that's why we're seeing that kind of explosion in this kind of technology, but it will guide a different mindset, but it will be bespoke to each organization and within their industries, because those skills and capabilities that are underpinning all of these things will be in the systems that they work in.
We need to talk about the upcoming trends and changes that is happening in today's environment. What would be some of the ideas that you can share with us when it comes to the evolution of the digital workspace?
Well, the digital workplace is really to enable what the workplace is now, right? And I think the role that technology and data play in harmonizing workforce and workplace is critical. And I think going back to that notion of work as a marketplace, part of what that looks like is looking at how companies are thinking about the work that gets done. There's been skill shortages, people shortages in some areas, talent shortages. We've been hearing about this for a long time. We've certainly seen the pain that this has caused for a lot of organizations to increase. And they have to start thinking more and more and more about how they access talent instead of always looking to attract, hire more. We've got to focus on retention, attrition, development, and you have to understand the work that needs to get done, but also have how you access talent across the workforce. And that could mean full-time employees. It could be part-time workers, full-time workers, gig workers, that contingent labor. It could be even machines as part of the workforce and how we collaborate with them. I think that's super important, so that you understand the skills and capabilities of all those different workers and worker types, and how that could be applied to the work and the enterprise needs of an organization. The other side of that, right, is how workers are now perceiving work and how they're establishing their work lives in their careers. Sometimes it's not, it's not linear anymore. It could be moving around. And what we're seeing is that people are accessing experiences. When they are accessing experiences, not just jobs and roles, they're building skills and capabilities that can be applied in multiple ways. And we're seeing that worker behavior. So how this comes together, I think, is critical. And I think there's three main approaches that organizations either are taking or can take. And one is really kind of this notion of internal mobility. And there are system ways to deal with that, but there are also systemic issues that have to be addressed in organizations. And that goes back to that, how do we think about the work and the skills and capabilities of the workforce? the other side of that, and that mobility really is about just worker progression. The other approach is kind of a developmental approach. And I think that's why skills and capabilities are becoming more and more this topic of, you know, we've got to reskill, we have to upskill, but we still have to know what that is. And we have to realize that we have to continually develop that that talent based on the work that needs to get done, based on the skills and capabilities that need to be done, and giving people opportunities, not just through content and ingesting content, but giving them stretch assignments and projects and things to work on to develop their skills while still getting the work of an organization done, which is very informal in most organizations at this point. And we really have little to no visibility. And that's what the technology can help us with the recommendations and guidance. And that third approach that second approach is really about worker agility, right? The third approach is how do you take the best of both of those approaches and really apply it to internal and external candidates? So I think that's where we're seeing things going and how the technology is being invested in to support that.
Okay, thank you, Chris. One short break before we conclude our conversation with Oracle. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. You're watching Notepad. I have with me Chris Havrila on the line in California. Chris, again, we need to talk about the skill gap in the industry that has become very apparent, especially in competitive markets like the Asia Pacific, like Southeast Asia, which in turn affects hires, productivity and overall performance. Do you believe that culture can evolve fast enough to meet this ever-changing need and want and demand? And of course, how does the digitization element keep up with the change of culture in order to meet this ever-changing or rapid speed of change?
I do think so, but I think the pain has to be pretty high. And we saw that happen with the pandemic, right? People had to start to think in different ways to get the work of an organization done, or if you're a worker, how you were going to kind of put together your work life so that you can kind of absorb all the change that was happening. I do think the mindset change that has to happen is we can't constantly think about reinventing ourselves all the time and this notion of transformation. We kind of have to understand how do we absorb change even when the pain is high and become agile, right? And kind of take advantage of whatever the change or disruption is, but still stay focused on the outcomes that we're trying to get. So those are big mindset shifts, but I do think that, and which is really the underpinning of culture change, right? I do think when that pain gets high enough, and we certainly saw that in the pandemic, that people are willing to shift and change. And the goal is maybe teaching them not just to do it instinctually or in a survival mentality, but how do we stay focused on the outcomes we're trying to get and still thrive? And I think the more that organizations connect workers to outcomes, not just output like tasks and activities, but really what is their contribution and what impact are they making and what outcomes are they supposed to be focused on, they have more agency to help with that culture change.
Since the pandemic, there has been several predictions about what the future of workplace would look like. We are already experiencing the kind of rise in hybrid and physical work. Amidst all these changes, what does talent management of the future look like? And how is Oracle positioned to manage these ever-changing dynamics, particularly when we look at some of the tools that can be offered by Oracle to the workplace?
Well, I think there are two big trends that we're seeing. One is that focus on the on scaling the employee experience, and I say that through things like this marketplace approach and really shifting to less of a process map world where it's kind of, again, task and activity focus, kind of input, process, output. Less about how do we tell people how to do the work, but what needs to be done and why, and giving them agency to figure out the how and really kind of supporting that. So part of that is kind of that employee development and internal mobility notion. But I also think it's kind of people first, people focused leadership, which is a little bit of a different shift from the command and control world that we've always lived in, where we did tell people how to do the work. You know, again, here's your process map. And really to more of a notion of flow. And again, you know, knowing what the outcomes are, people can have that agency when they know what and why they're doing it to figure out the how. But that includes a people first leadership notion. And that's more of a commitment and collaboration where we're focused on unlocking the potential and performance of our people, understanding that they have that agency to make decisions and take action. And how are we supporting that? Again, with data and insights and tools to get those outcomes done. But I also think it's this notion of very employee-centric technology. Again, not just giving people tools and telling them how to use it, but making sure they have what they need to get those outcomes they have done. And that's the other big trend that we've seen in the technology side outside of skills and opportunity and talent marketplace technology, Oracle being kind of their dynamic skills and opportunity marketplace specifically. And the other side of this is the notion of employee experience platforms and what that means. And I think there's been a lot of approaches to that technology, but where we're seeing probably the most traction and people, you know, kind of naturally and organically using it are things where it really is helping around belonging and somebody's contribution, not just bring my whole self to work, but actually how I'm contributing and how I'm collaborating with people to get those outcomes done, but also how are we making work easier and better for people and people better at the work that they're doing as a notion of well-being. So are these tools helping them get those outcomes, or is it becoming the work? And that's the big trend I've seen with experience platforms such as Oracle Me, which we've recently launched, where it's focused on actually making things easier for people to get their work done.
Okay, right. Again, thanks very much, Chris, for taking the time to speak with us. That was Chris Havrila, Vice President, Product Strategy, Talent at Oracle, joining us from California. Chris, thank you very much for this kind of sharing. I'm pretty sure that you perhaps need to go to bed very, very soon. Again, thanks for taking the time to speak with us right now on this show. Anyway, for you who are joining us or have joined us for the past half an hour, thank you very much for taking the time to watch our conversation with expert interviews like Chris. Remember, you can actually ensure that there are plenty of other resources and other interviews that can be done or watched or learned or seen on astroawani.com. Just head on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad there. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Catch you in the next one.